You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So good that we can gather today on Good Friday, on this Easter weekend. And you know, God's grace is for you. What a powerful statement. But Easter is just not another weekend that we celebrate. It's not just a moment for hot cross buns and chocolate Easter eggs, as much as I love them. Anyone else here a fan of those things? But Easter is of immense significance. Easter is a weekend where we remember what God has done for us, how God bridged the gap, how God brought restoration and forgiveness for all of humanity. And you know, my encouragement for you this morning, my heart for you, my heart for myself is that I want to take this moment to recall His grace, to recall His goodness, to recall His love, that it's not just, you know, another Easter comes and goes, that it's 4 days, but that we recognize and have fresh revelation of God's grace for you and I, God's love for you and I, and how it applies to our life, so that we can take that into our Monday to Saturday, so we can take that into the weeks and months to come, that it would bring transformation to you, that it would bring transformation to me, that God's grace is for you, God's love is for you. So let's pray, hey? Lord, I just thank you that you sent Jesus. I thank you that we have this pathway of restoration to you because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to each one of us, that you'll bring revelation to each one of our hearts about your love and your grace for each one of us. Amen. So different thoughts might come to your mind when you hear the word grace, because the word grace has a lot of meaning. So I sort of was racking my brain for what might I think or what might someone think when they think of the word grace. You know, when you hear the word grace, you might think about a family saying grace, saying a blessing before they get together to eat. I don't know if I ever did this growing up, but if your parents said to you like, oh, can you say grace? And you go, grace. Yep. That was what we always did as siblings. We used to compete to see who could do it the quickest and the best. You know, when you hear the word grace, you might think of a girl's name, a person's name. So maybe a famous Grace, you know, Grace Kelly. Or my favorite Grace that I know, Gracie Lou Freebush, Sandra Bullock's character in Miss Congeniality, another famous Grace. Maybe you think of someone who moves with elegance or in a very smooth, supple way, like a ballerina. Maybe grace could mean a disposition towards kindness or clemency that may not be deserved. You know, you're gracious to someone when they cut you off in the intersection or cut into your lane, you know, rather than glaring at them or honking your horn. I never do that. You smile at them and wave graciously. You know, that could be extending grace. You know, there's so many different things we can think of when we think of the word grace. But when I think about God's grace, that God's grace is for you, I try to think of what's a picture then that can depict it, because it's so big, it's so wide, it's quite difficult to fully describe. But you know, then I suddenly had this thought of, this is the one picture that demonstrates it beautifully. The cross, the price that Jesus paid for you and I. See, my friends, God's grace is for you. God's grace is for you today. And I think sometimes like grace can seem like this intangible, like far away, theoretical experience, feeling that we talk about. But God's grace is for you today. It's applicable to your life today. It's applicable to your everyday. The Bible talks about grace, or defines grace, as the unmerited, unearned or undeserved, freely given favor of God. That God's unmerited, undeserved favor is with you. You haven't done anything to earn it or deserve it, but it is for you. This is what it says in Titus 2:11. For the remarkable, undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. My heart for you today, friends, is that you have fresh revelation of God's grace for you, that it applies to your life today, wherever you are on the spectrum of faith, of knowing God, that it applies to you today, that it becomes tangible to you in a greater way. Why? Because it matters. It matters for today. It matters for tomorrow. It matters for eternity. That God's grace is a pathway for restoration, healing from pain, from brokenness and hurt. It's a pathway towards greater freedom and joy. But my friends, to understand the significance of God's grace, we rewind back. We need to run back to where God created humans in the book of Genesis. See, God in his nature is relational. God created humans in his image. He made us to be relational beings. God created you and he created I for relationship with him. He created you and I for a relationship with each other, for community. But as we read in Genesis that Adam and Eve chose to do their own thing rather than follow God's intended best, this separated humans from right relationship with God. Our wrongdoing, our sin, perpetuates that separation from God. This is what it says in Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. But the great news is that's not the end of that scripture. See, the great news is God's response. God's response of love and grace. God's response of Jesus. In verse 24, the next verse, yet God, in his grace, his unmerited, undeserved, yet freely given favor, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. So my friends, this weekend, we don't only celebrate what Jesus has done, but we celebrate God's intervention, that God made the first move, like in a game of chess. He made the first move so that you and I could be restored to right relationship with him. He made the first move so we could be made right in his sight. And that is what we celebrate. Because of his great love, God sent Jesus, his son, to save you and I. 1 John 4, verse 9 to 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Friend, can I encourage you today, wherever you are in the sphere of life, God's love is for you. God loves you. God's love is for you. See, Jesus lived on the earth as a man. God sent Jesus to live on the earth. Jesus did what we could not do. He lived a perfect life. This is what qualified him to go to the cross, to die for our sin, for the wrongdoing of all humanity. Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died and was buried. He rose on the third day, conquering sin and death. This has created a pathway for all humanity, for you and I, to be forgiven and to be restored to right relationship with God. This is what we remember around Easter. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of all humanity. And you know, I grew up thinking or reflecting on Good Friday as a very sort of solemn thing. And there is an element of it's a solemn thing that we remember Jesus, but it's also something we can celebrate that Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. His death, burial, and resurrection was for the forgiveness of all humanity and for the restoration of all humanity. But you know, one of the biblical accounts of Jesus' death is in the book of John. And this is when Jesus on the cross nearing the end of his life on earth. This goes from John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. In John 19, 28, it says this, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. This is while he was on the cross. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. He then says he's thirsty and he's given a drink. And in verse 30, he says this. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And that's what we sang about in the new song, Jesus, 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 that it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus' word on the cross, that it is finished. He had completed his mission. He had done what God sent him to do. He had bore our sins on the cross so we could be restored. My friends, Jesus paid the highest price. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus endured suffering on the cross for the forgiveness and restoration of you and I. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus made a way for you and I to know God personally. Jesus made a way for you and I to be restored to relationship with him. Jesus made a way for you and I to experience his love and grace. But you know, you might say to me again, well, that's great to know, but what does that mean? God's grace is for you. Can I encourage you again, wherever you are on that spectrum of finding faith, you are loved by God. God's grace is for you. And it isn't dependent on the type of person you are, your good deeds, or your lack thereof. You can't earn it or work for it. God's grace is unmerited, undeserved, yet freely given favor. His good, because of his goodness, because of who he is. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. God saved you and I by his grace because of who he is. And again, grace can sometimes seem like an abstract thing, an experience, a momentary feeling like, oh, God's grace, it's lovely. But can I assure you, it's something we can apply to our lives each and every day. And let me give you an illustration to help illustrate this as the team comes. I think I've got it in my pocket. Let me find it. I've got a house key here. See, we recently got keys to our first house. And it took a long while to get keys to the house. But we finally got the notification that the house is finished. It is finished. Good news. Bit different to the cross, bit less significant than the cross, but the house is finished. It is finished. But you know, we could have access to the house at that point because the house was finished. This is the key to the house that we got because it is finished. And it's the same with the cross. See, Jesus paid the price. Similarly with the cross, Jesus paid the price. He did the finished work on the cross. He died for sin, for our sin once and for all. He made the pathway for restoration to relationship once and for all, so it could be finished. And coming into right relationship with God is about having faith in Jesus, believing in him, that you get access to that key and you say, do you know what? I have faith in you. I want to follow you. I want to know you, God. And if you haven't done that before, if you haven't made a decision to say, I believe in you, God, I want to know you, there will be an opportunity for you to do so at the end of this message. But see, the story doesn't end there, because if we just got that key and we're like, oh, cool, here's the key, I'm going to take it with me, all right, you know, go into my everyday life, we actually had to put that key into the door. You know, the grace of God applies to our everyday life. The grace of God is applicable to you today. That he has great benefits for you. He has a life of joy, a life of purpose for you, a hope, a confident assurance for eternity. But we need to apply his grace to our lives. Put that key into the door like we did into our house. Can I encourage you, my friend? You can apply the grace of God into your everyday life. Wherever you are on the journey of finding faith, God's grace is relevant for you. How is it relevant, you might ask? Well, let me give you a few examples. First things first, God's grace is for you in that your eternity is assured. This is the promise we have when restored to right relationship with God through faith in Jesus, that we will one day spend eternity with God in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says this, we believe that Jesus died, but we also believe that he rose again. So we believe that God will raise to life through Jesus any who have died and bring them together with him when he comes. What an amazing promise we have. That's powerful, that we have our eternity secure. You know, when you have that promise of knowing of your eternity, it changes how you approach everyone and everything. You know, for me, it taught me how to love more, to give more, to not worry about the little stuff, because I know who my God is, and I know that my eternity is secure. How is God's grace relevant for you? God's grace is for you, but God's grace is also with you. God's grace is with you for navigating varying and different and every season of life. See, God promises to be with you, to strengthen you, to comfort you, to protect you, to support you. 2 Thessalonians 16:16-17 says this, we pray that the Lord Jesus himself and God our Father will comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. God loved us and gave us, through his grace, a wonderful hope and comfort that has no end. In areas where we feel weak or that we feel like we can't do it ourselves, his grace is sufficient. His comfort, his hope is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, God said to Paul, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is with you, God, every day, for navigating various seasons. And you know, I can stand here today saying, I experienced that even this week. It's funny how when you're going to speak on it, it's the exact thing that you kind of get pulled in or challenged in. And you know, this week I was even feeling like overwhelmed, and do I have the capacity to do all the things that I need to do? And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know how it's going to work. And there was this feeling of inadequacy. But I was just reminded that, do you know what? Your grace is sufficient for me. And I had to speak that out. Your grace is sufficient for me. That your power is made perfect in areas where I feel I'm inadequate. That your power is made perfect. See, God's grace is for you as well. We can declare that. We can speak out that when we are weak, He is strong. In areas where I feel that I can't do it, He can do it. God's grace is for you, but God's grace is with you each and every day. God's grace is for you to live the life He created you to. John 10:10 says this, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. How good is that? That God's grace helps us to live this abundant life. See, God's grace is not a license to do whatever we want, to live however we want. But in the scripture in Titus, it talks about His grace giving us the desire and ability to do what He asks us to do. See, grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor, but it's His desire, it's the desire that He gives us and the ability to do what He asks us to do. We can approach God and we can ask Him to help us live the life He created us to. We can ask Him to teach us the way He wants us to live. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace, His help, His desire, His ability to help us in our time of need. My friends, this is for you and I today, that God gives you His undeserved, unmerited favor. God gives you the desire and ability to live the way He wants you to, and we can approach Him with confidence, knowing that He's there for you and I. So as I wrap up this morning, wherever you may find yourself on the spectrum of faith, Jesus' words are still true today. It is finished. It is finished. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection create a pathway for you and I to know Him. Jesus paid the price once and for all for our sin. It is finished. Jesus died and made a way for you and I to know Him personally, for me to know Him personally, for you and I to experience His love and grace. So my friends, God loves you. God loves you. God's grace is for you. God's grace is with you each and every day. Receive His grace. Walk in His grace. Apply His grace to your life because it's powerful, because it's life-changing, because it's transformational. I am living, breathing proof of the grace of God in life. And I look across the room, I see the living, breathing proof of God's grace in people's lives. But you know, the first step of receiving God's grace is acknowledging that you need Him in your life. Believing that He sent Jesus, who died and was buried and rose again, so we could be forgiven. Ephesians 2:8 says this, God saved you by His grace when you believed. There's an action of believing, of having faith, of declaring that, yep, I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. See, this acknowledgement can be done through a simple prayer, a prayer that acknowledges, God, I need Your grace. I need You. I believe that Jesus died. I believe Jesus was buried and He rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. And we're going to pray that prayer together in a moment. And if you sitting in the room today or you're watching online, you go, do you know what? I need God's grace. I need God's grace in my life. I've been off doing my own thing and I want to come back to know Him. Or maybe you've never made that decision to say, I need God's grace. I want to acknowledge God and believe in Him. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. In that moment, you receive forgiveness from God. By saying that prayer, you're restored to relationship with God. But it starts you on this amazing journey of knowing God, of following Him and being in relationship with Him. So I'm going to invite the whole church to pray this prayer. And if you would like to receive God's grace, His gift of salvation this Easter, would you join and repeat after me in this prayer? We can ask everyone to close their eyes just out of respect. God, I thank You that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. I thank you that you made a way for me to know you. I declare with my mouth and I believe with my heart that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I choose to believe in you and receive your grace. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.